Miles walked down the path to the beach and sat on the grey sand of Lady Bay. It was cloudy and overcast, but light was still reflecting off the water and it hurt his eyes. He squinted, let his eyes get used to the whiteness, and he looked over the familiar rocks and sand and water. He was meant to be going through the house, but the house was full and stuffy, and he didn't want to be in there. He put his hand in his pocket, pulled out the string. He held it up to the light. A shark's tooth, cold and sharp. A perfect blade. Everything a shark was rotted and disappeared. Everything but its jaw and its teeth. That was all a shark could ever leave behind. And it was old, the tooth. It was yellow and old, and he tried to picture it around Grandad's neck or hanging up somewhere in the shed or in the workshop. And he tried to picture it in Mum's car, maybe swaying from the rearview mirror or sitting loose on the dash. He couldn't place it. He didn't know it.
"What's that?"
Miles looked up. It was Gary Bones standing there. Gary Bones, the big full forward who took hard marks and broke grown men. He grabbed the string out of Miles' hand, tucked the tooth up tight inside his fist.
"Thanks,"
he said. Miles sat silent. He watched Gary Bones carry his rod and fish bucket and the shark tooth away. He watched him walk down the beach towards the bluff. He imagined him disappearing over the hill. Imagine the tooth gone forever. Suddenly, Miles was running. He was up and sprinting, picking up speed as he hit wet sand. Then he launched himself into the thick back of Gary Bones. Time went strange then. He was on the sand, and he felt the cold water run up his trousers, felt it soak right through and up onto his back. And there were hands on his shoulders, strong and gripping. Gary Bones's hands. Miles turned his face away, looked out at the water, and it seemed to glow purple and metallic in the sunlight as Gary Bones's huge forehead came crashing down. The light was bright and blurred. Miles leant up on his elbows, slowly tried to focus, found Gary Bones standing there on the sand. He had something in his hands, a fishing rod.
"It's broken," he said. "My dad's rod, it's broken."
And he looked all weird and small like a kid. They must have landed on it when they fell. They must have busted it. Miles got to his feet, and his face pulsed and throbbed, felt swollen. When he wiped his nose with the back of his hand, it stung like hell. Blood came away. It was there on the back of his hand. He started walking backwards, small steps, but Gary Bones noticed. Gary Bones was coming. Miles didn't know what to do, so he just started talking out loud about the tooth and how he'd found it in the seat, and he didn't know whose it was, but he thought that maybe it had something to do with Mum, that maybe it was hers. And he thought that he should keep it because she was dead, because she died. And he tried not to look at Gary Bones while he talked. He tried to look at the ground. But Gary was standing so close, Miles could even hear him breathe. And a fat, knuckled fist dug into Miles's ribs, stayed there.
"Who says I'm going to keep it? Who says?"
And Gary Bones stared hard into Miles, smiled a tight, mean smile. But his fist moved away. He dropped the tooth on the sand.
"If you weren't such a little freak, I'd beat the crap out of you, Miles."
He was still in the bathroom inspecting his face when he heard the van get back. His nose looked okay now, not bleeding so much, but it was his teeth he was worried about. His tongue had been playing with one, pushing it this way and that, and it felt loose. It definitely moved when he touched it. He parted his lips again to have another look. It was the little tooth just next to his big teeth, the front ones.
"Oh, what the fuck happened to your face?"
Joe was standing behind him, looking at him in the mirror. Miles turned around and pulled his top lip back even further.
Do you think my tooth's going to fall out?
Joe put one hand under Miles' chin, lifted his head to the light.
This one.
Miles marked the tooth out with his tongue. Joe touched it gently with his finger.
I think it's okay, but stop touching it. Stop moving it with your tongue. I'll get some ice.
He let go of Miles' face, walked away to the kitchen, and now Harry was at the door looking in.
I fell,
Miles said. Harry didn't say anything. He just stood there in the doorway looking dumb, with his mouth wide open. Miles pushed past him and followed Joe to the kitchen. Joe gave him a handful of ice wrapped in an old tea towel and pushed him out onto the veranda. Miles held the cloth lightly against the side of his nose, and it smelled thick with grease and oil and old cooked meat. Water dripped slowly from his hands, and Miles watched the drops land on the old wide floorboards below. He watched the wood suck the water in, and he could feel Joe standing near, just behind his back, almost touching. He could hear Joe waiting.
I fell,
Miles said again.
Joe sighed and grabbed the tea towel of ice out of his hands. He went to walk away, but Miles stopped him. I know it happened to Mum, he said. You think I don't, but I do. I know she crashed the car on purpose. I know she wanted to die.
Joe grabbed hold of him, squeezed his arms hard.
Why would you say that? Why would you even think that? Jesus Christ, Miles, it's not true.
He chucked the tea towel on the ground and ice cubes flew across the boards.
She had this thing, this condition. High blood pressure. She took medication for it. That day in the car, her blood pressure got really high and she just had a heart attack. That's it. She just died. She just had a heart attack and crashed the car and bloody died.
Joe pushed Miles away. He stormed into the kitchen and slammed the door. Out of the corner of his eye, Miles knew Harry was right there, that he'd seen everything and heard everything. But Miles didn't speak. He didn't say anything. He just closed his eyes and pretended that Harry wasn't there, and he couldn't hear him or feel him, that Harry didn't exist. He put his hand in his pocket, clutched the tooth tightly in his hand, the sharp edges almost piercing his skin. He knew that the tooth belonged to him, that it was his.